Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, joined here by my beautiful wife, Janet. And it's a beautiful summer day here in July. We're just back from our family vacation a few weeks ago, right, Janet?
That's right. Hello, everyone. We're very excited. Today's a special program, but as Rich was saying, we did have a lovely summer with our family so far, and I'm looking forward to even more joy
even more,
but and
we
fun
had
together.
We took a week and on a lake, and we rented a house together for all of us, children and grandchildren. Spouses, boyfriend, and we had a wonderful time.
In fact, when we arrived, we were looking around in all the different rooms, and on one wall in the bedroom, there was this beautiful picture, a picture of two grandparents, a mother and a father, with 10 grandchildren. So I gathered my kids and I said, look up at that. I said, that's my goal. I have a picture, your husband and I, with 10 grandchildren surrounding us. They all laughed and they said, okay, we'll get on that mission.
Yep. And so we just had a very blessed summer, and we're looking forward to more. Summer still has a long way to go, so we're very happy for the time we have together. Today's show, as Janet says, we have a very special show today. We'll be talking, we'll introduce her in a minute. We'll be talking to the daughter of St. Gianna Mola, who is a wonderful saint, and a saint that Janet and I have a personal interest in because of how we got introduced to her. And
not only do we have that personal interest, but the family here at Holy Spirit Radio has a special connection.
That's right.
And that's what drew us all close together. So we're going to leave that for a little later on, because first we do want to get to know St. Gianna Beretta Mola better, as well as her husband.
Right. And here to do that for us today, we're very blessed to have her daughter, Gianna Emanuela Mola, here with us in the studio. She is traveling from Italy. She is here touring the country, and we'll get to a bit of the reason why she's here, to promote a shrine that she wants to develop for her mom. But she's also here to express the joy and love and the witness that her mom gave and sacrifice to us all, and especially to Gianna here. But first off, Gianna Emanuela Mola is a doctor herself, just like her mom. She is a geriatrician. She lives in Milan, Italy, and she is here taking a tour. We've been on EWTN radio and going to be on Catholic Answers, and we're very privileged to have her on the show. So welcome, Gianna. Welcome to our show.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I thank you and Janet for welcoming me at Holy Spirit Radio. And I would like to greet all people who are listening to us in this moment.
Yes. They're so excited. We're very blessed to have you. We're blessed. Some of our listeners may know this, but we actually have a shrine to your mom, St. Gianna, in Warminster, in Bucks County.
So that's right, the Nativity of Our Lord Parish.
The Nativity
right?
of Our Lord Parish. So it's Bucks County has a special relationship. Our listeners know about your mom, and at least some of them do, but we want to let everyone know about your mom and the beautiful life she led. So, Gianna, we know that English is not your primary language. You do a marvelous job, but if you have any things you need to clarify, we'd be happy to. We'll try to talk a little slower. Jan and I are both from New York, so that's hard to do. It's hard. We talk fast, but we'll try to talk slowly so that we can make ourselves clear. And if you have any questions or anything, then we'll be happy to explain.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So let's start a little bit just about your mom. Well, you know, where is she from? Where did she, you know, what was her life? What was her career? Your basic biography, and then we'll talk about some of the important things that she did.
Yes, my mom was born in 1922 in Magenta, a city close to Milan. Just on the day of St. Francis' feast, the 4th of October. She was the 10th of 13 children, and the Lord blessed her with two deeply Christian parents. Yes, and Mama, since when she was a child, at only 5 years old, received her first Holy Communion, and since that day, the Lord became the very center of her life.
Yes.
And during her youth, she dedicated a lot of her time to apostolate with the Girls of Catholic Action, and to help the needy and the poor people in the St. Vincent de Paul Society. When she became a doctor, a pediatrician.
Pediatrician, right.
And she really lived her profession as a true mission, seeing in every sick people Jesus himself.
Yes.
Then she prayed a lot. She prayed a lot, and she asked other people to pray for her to understand which was her vocation. For mom, also the vocation was a gift of God.
Yes.
And she would like to know what God would like from her to serve the Lord in the best way possible for her.
That's something we should all be praying for.
How do we serve the Lord? So she prayed. This is when she was still a single woman.
Yes.
So she was a doctor.
Yes.
She was single. She was ministering. I mean, she had some beautiful ministry to the poor, right? To the poor families, the mothers that needed help. So you're saying, so she had that as her mission, but she was still looking for a vocation. Am I called to be married, single, in this country? I know she looked at going to Brazil as well.
Yes, in a first time, she thought she had to go to Brazil to help as a doctor, as a lay person and doctor.
Right.
One of her brothers, my uncle, Father Alberto, was a doctor missionary cappuccino in Grajaú, Maranhão, Brazil. And he needed another doctor arrived to help him, but mama didn't find no doctor to go to Brazil to help her brother, and so she thought she herself have to go to Brazil.
Right.
To but
so she prayed.
Yes.
So say, where do you want me to go, Lord? What do you want me to do?
Yes. But in this place in Brazil, there was an equatorial hot, and mama have not the health to face this equatorial hot. And so her spiritual director convinced mama that if God would like mama went to Brazil, he gave to her the health necessary to go to Brazil.
Right.
That's a good way to
and,
look at it, yes.
Since she had not this health, it doesn't mean that God would like for mama another vocation.
Sure.
Right.
And when she realized that her vocation could be the married life and the family life, what she did. At the age of 32 years old, she went to Lourdes to pray to the Virgin Mary let her meet.
32,
yes. She waited to know. She went on to pray until she realized what God would like from her. She was not on hurry. She went on to pray. And she went to Lourdes to pray to the Virgin Mary to let her meet the man who would become her spouse. My dad, on the other side, was praying to the Virgin Mary too. My dad prayed to the Our Lady of Good Counsel of the his devoted little church in Ponte Nuovo of Magenta, where he already lived, to let him meet a holy mother for his children. This was my dad's prayer.
That was your dad's prayer, to meet a holy mother for his children.
Wow. Beautiful,
Beautiful. And both of them praying almost at the same time.
Yes. And really, thanks to the Virgin Mary and of the divine God's will.
Yes.
Finally, their wonderful hearts and souls could meet each other because they already knew each other since five years before.
Really?
Yeah, they had met earlier.
Yes. But Virgin Mary, what did Virgin Mary? Made their hearts meet. It's fundamental that the heart can.
Sure.
And really, and the dad was 10 years more than mom.
Okay.
He was older, 10
years old.
42. Okay. He was not a doctor. He was a mechanical engineer.
Ah.
And he was a director at the time of a big matches factory in this small village of Ponte Nuovo of Magenta. He was too a man of great faith and really extraordinary virtues like mom. And he also had two deeply Christian parents. I always think how much is important our parents' example.
Oh,
and I add also our grandparents' example when God give us the gift to know our grandparents. And mom and dad really lived their engagement time as a time of grace, continuously thanking the Lord and the Virgin Mary father the very big gift to meet each other. Mm. And they, every day more, prayed to them for their family, their new family.
And praying ahead of time
for the family they had.
For their new family.
In fact, I read when they became engaged, they celebrated by having a mass.
Yes, in fact, they celebrated their engagement with an official man.
Yes.
Wow. Another brother of my mom, Father Giuseppe, celebrated this mass of engagement. Mm. And really, mom and dad prayed to the Lord and to the Virgin Mary with a deep humility. They prayed to them. They were also ready to the sorrow who always are present in our life. Mm. In fact, mom, during her engagement, in a letter to dad, she wrote these words: "My dearest Pietro, it's true, there will be sorrows too. Mm. But if we always love each other as we do now, then with God's help, we'll know how to bear them together."
Oh, beautiful.
"Don't you think so? For now, though, let's enjoy the happiness of loving each other. Mm. I was always told that the secret of happiness is to live moment by moment. Mm. And to thank the Lord for all that He, in His goodness, sends to us day after day." Mm. And my dad wrote to mom just two weeks before their wedding day: "Dearest Gianna, now we understand each other perfectly because heaven is our light and the divine law our guide. Mm. Because heaven and the divine law find in you the most beautiful virtues and the greatest good, while I have the greatest desire and the immense joy of make you happy always. Mm. Now our love is full because we are one heart and soul, one feeling and love, because our love, strong and poor, knows how to wait for the blessing of heaven."
Wow. That is so beautiful. What a great example, not only of St. Gianna's personal choice that sort of led to her sainthood, but their whole marriage, their whole courtship is a perfect example of the beauty of marriage and the call we have to love one another. It's a beautiful witness.
And what a great gift we have in these letters that they wrote to each other. This is just a beautiful witness that really does drive home their deep devotion to God, to serving God, and to serve God through each other and their future family.
Yes.
And you said, to interrupt, but you mentioned that there's a book that contains all their letters they wrote to one another,
yes,
right?
Yes. When my dad was alive, since he was very reserved and very shy, he didn't want his letter to mom were published. Mm. And so only the letter of mom to dad were published. But after my dad's death, he died 6 years ago on Holy Saturday at almost 98. With the mind very clear until the very last day of his long life, Italian sample edition asked for the letter of death. And so, with my brother and my brother Pierluigi and my sister Laura, we decided to give the permission to publish also the letter of death to mom. I dedicated a lot of time to prepare these letters. And really, reading all these letters together, I have thought this, that according to me, mom and dad lived a love so infinite, so big, because the Lord and the Virgin Mary were always present, because the Lord and the Virgin Mary were an integral part of their love, they were already an integral part of their whole lives, also before they meet each other.
Yes.
I think that humanly it's not possible to reach a so infinite love without the help of the Lord and of the Virgin
Amen.
Mary.
Amen.
And on 2014, also Pauline Books and Media of Boston published this book of all the letters in the English edition.
And it's called
The Journey of Our Love, Journey the Letters of St. Gianna Barretta and Pietro Mola. And again, it's the Pauline Books and Media, which I'm sure you can go online.
Go online and look for it. Let's just take a break and remind our listeners you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. The show here is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here with my wife, Janet. And we have as our guest, our very special guest, the daughter of St. Gianna Barretta Mola, Gianna Emanuela Mola, who's here visiting in the United States, promoting devotion and love for her, her mother, the saint, and also for... a shrine that she's looking to build in Milan. But before we get to that part, Gianna, I do want to, some of our listeners may not be familiar with your mom's story. So can you tell us a little bit about the circumstances, you know, that around your mom's courageous choice that she made and the consequences of that?
Yes. Of course, Mama, I would like, first of all, to say this, that Mama was beatified and then canonized. First of all, for the way she lived.
Yes.
And so, really, she crowned her exemplary life
with
the sacrifice of her own life, giving birth to me.
Yes.
We'll
let our listeners know.
Yes.
So, the main, I mean, you're right. Her whole life was an example, of sainthood. But
yes.
the crowning achievement is that she was pregnant with you and sort of had to make a decision whether to continue the pregnancy and risk her own life or, you know, other options that could have maybe led to the loss of your life.
And first, we might like to say, first they were engaged and about a year later, your parents married. And right away, they started to have children.
Yes, yes. After their marriage, before me, was born my brother Pierluigi, my little sister Mariolina, and then my sister Laura. Then, according God's will, my little sister Mariolina, at only 6, reached my mom in paradise.
Yeah, she passed away.
2 years after my mom's death. And my dad told me that mom, even if she had a difficulty pregnancy, she would like to give a brother to my brother Pierluigi. And so she prayed a lot, the Virgin Mary and the Lord, to receive also this gift. But what's happened during my pregnancy? At the end of the second month of pregnancy, Mama was diagnosed a fibroma, a benign tumor.
Benign
I underlined,
tumor
Mom had not cancer, but a benign tumor in her uterus.
Right.
I underlined this because, so you cannot understand better how big was the sacrifice that Mama did for me to save my life. My dad, in fact, usually told me if Mom decided in a different way, she could live 100 years, of course, with God's help. And when was diagnosed this fibroma, doctor told to my mom that she could have 3 possibilities. The first, to remove the uterus, it was the safest solution for her.
Which would be a hysterectomy.
Yes, hysterectomy.
Right.
But she could not have other children if God would like to give her other children.
And
a second,
And just to clarify, by doing that, it would have been perfectly illicit in the Catholic Church, you know, to have a surgery to save her life, but it would have meant the loss of your life, right?
Yes.
And so she chose not to do that. Right.
Yes. The second possibility was to remove the fibroma with a surgery and to put a hand on my pregnancy,
pregnancy
with an abortion.
Right.
And to have the possibility to have other children with this. This was the safest solution for my pregnancy, but perhaps not for the future.
Right.
The third possibility, to remove only the fibroma with a surgery and to go on with pregnancy. This was the riskiest solution for mom. And she, as a doctor, knew this very well.
Right.
Yes.
And tell us why that would be a risk.
Yes. The surgery necessary to remove the fibroma would leave a scar that could broken going on the pregnancy.
Right. Because of the stretching of the uterus, growth, that would be
could broken during the pregnancy. With the risk of a breaking of uterus and a mortal risk for immediately for my mom and for the baby who was me.
Your mom was about 2 months pregnant when all of this occurred, right?
At the end of the second month of pregnancy.
Okay, very early on, yes.
Yes, at the end. And mama really implored the surgeon to remove only the fibroma.
Okay.
And my dad respected my mom's decision. Mm. Another husband could say different.
Sure.
And mom thanks the Lord for having saved my life and went on to live the other 7 months of pregnancy with an incomparable fortitude. My dad used this word,
incomparable fortitude. I like that.
And she went on to do her duty as a spouse, as a mother, and as a doctor. She practiced medicine until a few days before enter the hospital.
Okay.
But 2 weeks before the delivery, even if she went on to pray the Lord to save her life too, not only my life, she was ready to give her life for her creature because she told to my dad these words, Pietro, if you have to decide between the baby's life and mine, do not hesitate. Choose. And this I require, the child's. Do save the baby.
Save the baby, right. If they come to a choice,
and
save
my daddy respect mom's decision for the second time. And dad explained to me about mom's sacrifice? Well, there are some people who tell me, your mom taking this decision, then left here 4 children without mom.
Right.
And when I was a child, I have a sense of guilt towards my brother and my sisters because they suffered much more than me. I was only a week when mama died.
Right, you never knew your mother.
But
right.
My brother Pierluigi was 6 years old, Mariolina 5, and Laura 3 years old. They had the visible presence of mom, and then no more. And also, I have sense of guilt also towards my mom, because mom had a great joy to live. Mm-hmm. How much my mom loved life, really a lot. And what dad explained to me, so I could became serene in my heart. He told me that for mom, I have the same right to live as my brother and my sister already born. Who is one? Mom knew very well that only she represented for me the instrument of divine providence, so I was able to come to see the light.
Good.
No other people could help me in that moment. Only my mom.
Only your mother could do that,
but
right.
She realized on divine providence and on for the upbringing of my brother and sister, she realized on divine providence through my dad and other relatives. Yes.
Right.
But for me, only mom was my divine providence in that moment. I always think if we born not only one time during the conception, but when our mom allow us to see the light.
Yes.
2 times is not enough the conception if we never can see the light.
Yes, you know, I think for many people, we've heard stories where mothers have sacrificed their life for their living children, whether they were burning in a car and they pulled them out or there was some kind of an accident and the mother stepped in the place of a child so that their children could be saved. And very understandably, we recognize the beauty of that. But it's hard, I think, when we live in a culture of death where abortion is so prolific in our culture and an easy way out, that for a mother to be heroic with a baby in her womb and to say, no, this child is as valuable as my living children, and certainly I would rather I be sacrificed than my baby be sacrificed, that really is very heroic, and that really is very inspiring for the rest of us to truly understand the dignity of a child from the moment of conception.
Right.
And that is, I think, a beautiful reason why we really need to turn to your mother, especially in the culture that we live today, where life is not valued from the moment of conception.
And I think, you know, your mom rightly recognized that, you know, if something happened to her, your father could take care of the children.
Exactly.
But only she could take care of you. Only she was in
that moment.
She was the only one that could secure your life. Whereas if she was gone, at least your father could take care of your children. That's a very advanced thought.
And self-sacrificing.
Very self-sacrificing.
Very
thought.
Self-sacrificing.
Yes, yes.
And very submissive to God's will. That's what I admire most about your mother, I think, is just when faced with that choice, you know, she said, okay, God, it's up to you. You know, thy will be done. I make this choice because I know this is, you know, what I'm called to do. And, you know, thy will be done. That's a difficult sacrifice when a difficult decision when you're faced with such a significant
but
sacrifice.
But out of the sadness of that entire tragedy, God has brought this blessing forward. Has brought your father, especially Pietro, to have only been married a short time, to have these children, and now to have to raise them. But again, he could see the beauty through it all in her sacrifice, and he lifted that up, raised you, and now you are now going out into the world and sharing this message with others.
Yes, yes, really. Really, my dad take care of us in a wonderful way. My mom herself, in one of her letter to dad, wrote this word to my dad. Dearest Pietro, you really are the dearest and most affectionate little husband. A saintly papa, not of gold, but of diamond.
Diamond.
The biggest and most precious one there is on this earth. Oh. And after my mom's death, you can imagine the deep, deep sorrow of my dad, my brothers, of my family, my. And my dad wrote a wonderful letter to my uncle, Father Alberto, the brother of Mama, who was in Brazil. And this long letter, ended with a prayer that my dad wrote to the Lord and to my mom. About the prayer to my mom, dad wrote, "And you, Gianna, help me to carry my cross day after day and to realize God's will in an heroic way, that you may get the divine grace to become saint also for our children and for me. Grant that every day may get us nearer to you, and that every day we may go up a step of the mystical Jacob's ladder at the top of which you are waiting for us. And grant that when God will call us as well, he can find us worthy to come near you forever. Amen."
Amen. Mm. Wow. To me, that's a saint. That's a prayer that a saint would recite.
Yes. I can testify, since I have lived 48 years of my life with my dad, that really, Mom, help my dad to carry his cross day after day. Mm. And I realized, living with him, that Mom and Dad went on to be one heart and soul. Mm-hmm. Also, when my mom went to paradise, Mom and Dad remained spiritually very united in communion. And even if my dad suffered a lot during his long life, he lost her spouse, my mom, 2 years later, one of his children. Yes. Even if he suffered a lot, he always told me, "It would not be enough for me the eternity to thank the Lord for all the graces he granted me during my long life. Wow. In particular, to attend and mom's beatification and mass canonization." As Diacon Rich told, it's true that I am a geriatrician. Mom was a pediatrician, I'm a geriatrician. And I left my work, my profession, on 2003 to take care of my dad. At the time, he was 90 years old. Wow. And he was very active. But he started to have serious health problems. Mm-hmm. It was necessary, the doctors, 24 hours a day, to take care of him at home, as he would like. And well, I have thought, I am a geriatrician. If I don't take care of my dad, who I have to help?
Yes. If God prepared you for this moment, really.
Yes.
With your work.
Yes. And then, if God's will would be different, now, to take care of him, beside my dad, there will be my mom, not me. Mm. If I think how much my dad loved my brother, my sister, and me, it's the minimum I can do for him. And I am sure that also my mom is happy in paradise if I take care of my dad.
Of course.
It's for me like to do something also for her.
Yeah.
And so really, grace for me, an honor for me to take care of my dad.
Take care of your father in his old age.
And really, if I think about my mom and my dad's lives, I can tell you that people have reason when they told me, God blessed you with two same parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think they have reason, really. And my mom and my dad's lives are really a powerful example for me. And they help me to live my Christian witness every day of my life. Their lives teach me very well that the way of the cross is the right way I have to follow.
There's no shortcut, right? It's
no.
The way of the cross.
No, they were also, I cannot imagine that since mom and dad are already in paradise, my road is very, very big. No, also for me, the way of the cross is the right way I have to be able one day to enjoy to paradise joy.
Mm-hmm.
God's side joy and forever.
Mm.
Surely the way of the cross, which is closely connected and indissoluble from the way of resurrection,
yes.
As our Lord Jesus has witnesses and showed to us, humanly is the most difficult and uncomfortable to face humanly.
Right. Nobody wants
face
to
as
suffer,
a human.
Nobody wants to stand up and volunteer necessarily, but that's why we need wonderful saints for that role model.
I think it's the only way which allow us to give a complete and full meaning to our life.
Yes.
Right.
What implies this way of the cross? As our Heavenly Mother has taught us very well, this way of the cross implies our continuous and unconditional yes to God's will.
Right.
Our humble acceptance of His holy will.
That's the hardest part.
Always and anyway, even when we don't understand it.
Yes.
Right, even when we don't understand.
And when it doesn't maybe even look like it's to our benefit.
Yeah.
But in the long run, it always is.
I just want to take a moment and remind our listeners, you're listening to WISP 1570 and WCOJ 1420 AM in Philadelphia and Coatesville. This is the show is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here with my wife, Janet. And we have as our very special guest, Gianna Emanuela Mola, who is the daughter of St. Gianna Mola, who was canonized back in 2004. And
the last saint canonized by Pope John Paul II.
Saint canonized by Pope John Paul. That's right. And she's here. Saint John Paul, right. And she's here this week in America. Her home is in Milan. But she's here this week to talk about her mom and the beautiful witness her mom has given to us all on a saintly life, and to, spread the good news about her mom, and to look for some help. We'll get to that in a little bit on building a beautiful shrine to her mom back in Italy. I wanted to spend a minute or two, though, Janet, talking about why St. Gianna is special to us, because we feel at this radio station, and Janet and I personally have a special devotion to your mom through another little saint, Gianna, that we've come to know in the last few years.
Please indulge me let me share a little bit about Gia. We call her Gia with you. But, you know, there really is, as Rich was saying, a beautiful connection between St. Gianna and Holy Spirit Radio. Dale and Jane Meyer, whose prayers and sacrifices made Holy Spirit Radio a reality, were so excited when their elder daughter Carolyn and her husband Frank announced that they were expecting their first child. Now, this was back in the year 2000. But as their pregnancy progressed, it was discovered that it was not a normal pregnancy, but one with many complications. And doctors did not expect the baby to live long enough in the womb to be delivered. Now, as you can imagine, this news was devastating. But, you know, Carol and Frank, they prayed, and they heard about Blessed Gianna. She was Blessed Gianna at that time. And they heard about her and her appreciation for life. So, you know, they prayed to Blessed Gianna, and they asked for her intercession to give them strength and courage. And, you know, praise God, He gave them, and in turn, all of us, this beautiful miracle of their child, their baby, which they then named Gianna.
Gianna
Rose after St. Gianna. Now, little Gia, she had a lot of struggles in her life just to be born, but that didn't end because she was born 10 weeks premature. And not only was she born premature, but she was also diagnosed with a devastating illness called cystic fibrosis. And that required her to have a surgery to correct a malformation in her intestine. And also she needed a valve surgery on her heart. And again, you know, cystic fibrosis is a very serious disease because it affects the lungs and other organs. And it's a disease that requires daily medications and treatments to help clear thick mucus from the lungs, and also medications to help and prevent lung infections. So little Gia, she really endured a lot, but she was a fighter and she thrived.
And joyful in the whole thing.
Yes.
I always found
in spite of everything,
she was
a very
happy child.
Happy
poking and parting, she just was a very happy child.
But you know, it didn't end there even for Gia, because tragically, at the short age of not even 4 years of age, just before her birthday, she developed childhood liver cancer. And after 8 months of intense chemotherapy, she passed away after they just completed a liver transplant surgery. Friends, there's just no words to describe how deeply the loss impacted so many of us who love her. But Gia has left her mark on us. You know, for many people, they might think, oh, that was a tragic life, you know, short-lived. Maybe it might have been better if she was never born. But you know, friends, that would have been the bigger tragedy for Gia not to be born. Not all that she went through, but if we never, ever had her in our lives, because her joy was so infectious. Her warm smiles and strength, she gifted all of us each day in her short life, and she is forever etched in our hearts. And we all know that Gia was well named after Saint Gianna, because in her brief life, with all her health struggles, she was a living witness to the dignity and value of the child in the womb and after birth. Each day with Gia was a miracle. Now, I just want to also say that it's been 12 years
it'll
since Gia has passed away.
This Tuesday
yes.
is her. I call her. She's my own personal saint. I call her, and her
after
my own personal feast day for her is this Tuesday.
Yes.
Will be the anniversary of her death.
But even though it's been 14 years, her presence is as strong as ever with us. Mm-hmm. I know I keep her busy with my prayers. I know Rich does. We often call on her for intercession, and I am sure her parents, her two sisters, Lily and Robin, and the extended family and friends would all agree.
And the owners of the station, grandparents.
Yeah, would all agree that that a day doesn't go by where we're not thinking of her. And when we do, it is her smile that first appears to us, and the smile lifts our spirits and fills our hearts with love and joy. How grateful to God we are for the gift of Gia, and thankful to Saint Gianna for her intercession and watching over her. And now, as a family and as the Holy Spirit Radio family, we feel we have two saints in heaven, two
yeah.
Saint Giannas.
Two Saint
and
Giannas.
I know one day, you know, we're all going to get to meet her,
yeah.
meet both of them. And what a joyful day that will be.
Yeah. And little Gia, you know, I prayed to her during my diaconate years at the seminary. And well, I won't take you through the whole story, but there was a time when I was considering leaving, because there's just so much to do. You know, so, you know, I'm in a job and then going to the seminary. And I had a very powerful dream where she, you know, kind of convinced me not to leave. Even though it was just a dream, I knew it was her, and I knew she was very actively convincing me to stay in the seminary. So she's my own personal saint, and I pray to her, and I pray to your mom as well. Just because without your mom, we wouldn't have had little Gia.
And another side note, Gia had cystic fibrosis. I have cystic fibrosis.
Jan has cystic fibrosis.
And because we had that disease, we were never able to touch each other, hug each other, or give each other a kiss.
It's spreading germs.
Yes, yeah. But we still had a relationship, talking from a distance or writing letters. But I have to say, when she passed on, it was devastating. And I was up all night praying to God to really help me to understand why this would happen. And, you know, God just gave me the peace and the joy in my heart to know that in Gia's short life, she did her father's will, and her time was finished here. Mm-hmm. And now it was her time to move on. And he just really reassured me that, you know what, Janet, you continue on, you follow in her footsteps, and one day you will be able to join with her in heaven. And when you do, you will be able to touch her, to hug her, and to kiss her.
Yeah.
From then on. So yeah. I tell you, she is just a beautiful witness to me for the pro-life movement, as well as just to that daily struggle of picking up our crosses and moving forward and do it with joy and do it in service to the Lord.
Yeah, just like your mom did too. I think your
yes.
mom, and you are a joyful woman as well. I can tell you always have a smile. You always are happy and happy to talk and share about your mom's life, and I'm sure she must have had that same joy because that didn't come by itself.
Yes.
Through your parents.
Yes, really, as you told just now, I can tell you that my Saint Mom and my dad's lives teach me that the way of the cross is certainly the way of joy as well.
Yes.
The most true and profound joy. That is the prelude to a greatest joy, amen, to delight one day of perfect joy, of God's side joy and forever. And even walking along the way of the cross, we can live in joy when we have the Lord in our hearts, when we see everything happens in our life in the light of faith. We continuously do God's will, and if we live in this way, we also feel in duty to thank our Lord continuously for each of our breath, for each of his gifts, also for the gift of sufferings. Really, also for the gift of sufferings.
Amen.
And while my first prayer in the morning when I wake up is this, what I do every morning when I open my eyes, I thank the Lord, the Virgin Mary who made my parents' hearts meet, my most beloved Saint Mom, and my most beloved Dad for the gift of life. Because the gift of life is really all.
The most.
If now I am here with you, it's thanks to the gift of life. Is the most precious, the most important, the most sacred gift.
It all begins there.
We always have to honor, to respect and defend. My second prayer is this. I thank to the Lord and to the Virgin Mary to be worthy of my Saint Mom and of my dad too, and to be able one day to rejoin to them, to embrace them and my little sister Marina again, when God will call me as well.
Right. No,
I live with this joy and this hope in my heart.
Now, Saint Gianna, she is the patron saint of mothers, of doctors, and of preterm babies.
And unborn children, yes.
And that is why Carolyn and Frank prayed for her intercession. But I'm sure you have met many children named after your mother.
Yes. Past year in Philadelphia, during the 8th World Meeting of Families, my Saint Mom was named the patron saint, together with Pope Saint John Paul II. I was so happy.
Of the conference.
So very happy. Yes. The two patron saints, Pope Saint John Paul II and my mom. And I had to give my testimony in the session of infertility.
An infertility, isn't that?
In a first moment, I say, why in this session? Then I have thought, really, divine providence has given me a beautiful occasion to praise and give glory to the Lord. Yes. Because really nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
And really, because my Saint Mom intercession is really powerful. The most frequent grace of Mom in the world is just this. When there are married couples who are not still be able to conceive, and perhaps they are married since 7 years, 10 years, 13 years, then they pray to my mom and derive a healthy child. And when medicine don't understand why it's not possible to conceive in some cases. In some cases, the medicine defined the spouse as with sterility, without able to conceive. But really, nothing is possible with God. And when married couples, it's happened that many married couples ask me to pray to my mom for this intention. What I tell to them, I say this, if your desire is according God's will, be sure that my mom listen to your prayers and my prayers. And really, the title of the session was The Heartbreak of Infertility. This couple suffered really a lot. And then I had to them, your heart has to be always open to God's will. And if God's will is not according to your desire, you have to be able to accept, I pray also for this, you have to be able to accept other way to be first. And when married couple are blessed from mom's intercession, what they wrote to me? First of all, they thank the Lord, of course, for this miracle.
Right.
And they tell me, we would like to testify with our child about this miracle, because in this way, people realize that the Lord goes on to do miracle also in the world today.
Right.
Then
miracles haven't stopped. Right.
Yeah. Then, of course, they told me, your mom, we have a deepest gratitude towards your mom because through her intercessions, our lives is completely changed. Mm. Now your mom is a part of our family, is like a member of our family.
That's like a family.
We would like to spread out the knowledge and the devotion to your mom so that many people can receive so special graces as we received. Mm. And really, every time I come in the United States, I have the grace to meet a lot of people, really a gift of God for me, because I am so happy when people tell me, we loved your mom. Mm. Your mom is a great inspiration for us. Yeah. Your mom for us is like a mother, a sister, like a friend. And also to tell me about their sufferings so that I can pray for these sufferings. And oh, I am so happy when I met baby Janas. How many baby Janas?
I met, and also
girls who take mama for their confirmation. Patron saint.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Really, I think that mama, through her exemplary Christian life witness and death, praised and gave glory to the Lord.
Amen.
They go on to praise and give glory to the Lord through her powerful intercession. And the Lord testifies his infinite love for us, also through mom's intercessions.
Right, absolutely. Let's just remind our listeners that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown, and 1420 WCLJ in Coatesville. This is the show Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here with my wife, Janet. And we're here speaking with the daughter of St. Gianna Beretta Mola, a woman who gave her life in sacrifice so that this Gianna here in our studios could be with us and be alive. And just a beautiful witness of submission to the Lord, of marital joy and marital love, the witness between her and her husband. But, John, in the time we have left, I want to talk a little bit about why you're here in America this week. And, you know, I will start, but I would love to hear your understanding of it. So you're looking to build a shrine in Milan that's centered around your childhood home, your childhood church, and the sort of the building behind it that connects them to, and looking to turn that into a beautiful shrine and convention center for your mom and in honor of your mom.
Yes, since my dad's death, I am dedicated all my life to spread out the knowledge and the devotion of mom all around the world, and in particular now my God called me to this mission. To try to restore the sponsal home of mom and dad in Ponte Nuovo of Magenta. Ponte Nuovo of Magenta is a small suburban village who belongs of the city of Magenta. Right. Mom and dad lived there after their marriage, and mama in the sponsal home lived during her 6 years and a half as a spouse, as a mother. She gave birth to my brothers Pierluigi, my sister Marilyn, and Laura in this house. Only me was born in the hospital. Then mom raised with my dad, my brother and sister in this home. And she died in this home. Mom, when she was in the hospital, she realized that God was calling her in paradise, she asked to my dad, Pietro, take me in my sponsal home, in my nuptial bedroom, and in her bed. And very close to this home belonged to the company where my dad served as a directory.
Right.
Also at present belong to this company, the home, and also the small church of Our Lady of Good Counsel, about 100 meters.
It's amazing. It's just right down.
It's
right
such
there.
A beautiful coincidence.
Yes,
that,
yes.
That the home
the small
and the church
of,
are,
yes,
are within walking distance of each other
very
and
close.
Connected basically by the office
yes,
building
a
that
very
your father
big
worked
building.
At.
Yes, yes.
Behind it.
In the small church of Our Lady of Good Counsel, Mama went every day to pray and to attend the Holy Mass during these 6 years as a spouse. And the funeral of Mom was celebrated in this small church. Yeah, my brother, my sister, and me were baptized in this small church. Yes. And then, according to Mom's and Dad's will, consecrated to Our Lady of Good Counsel. Also, my dad was very devoted to this small church. And then between the home and the small church, there is a big building, the Safa Company General Management Building, who is providentially situated between the home and the small church.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, it's like it's already in place, although there are many upgrades.
It needs to be refurbished, and that's where you need the funds to help you restore both your home to its original. The church, both the church and the home are empty, and so is the building behind it. They're all empty right now.
Yes, in this big building, we would like to create the St. Gianna Beretta Mole International Center, a center of prayer, of study, a spirituality, and where all pilgrims are welcome. The home is really, all the home is a relic. And when the company told us, to my family and me, to go away from this home on 1981, because we lived there other 7 years after Mom's death.
Okay.
Because the other director arrived after my dad. We preferred to live in Milan, and so our family lived in this home other 7 years. But when we go away, my dad, with much love, preserved and took care of all the furniture present in the home.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And now I take care of this, of all the furniture. the small dining room, the living room, the kitchen of Mama, the nuptial bedroom. And so we would like that all this, once the home is restored, all these furnitures can return in their place. And then to create a chapel with Blessed Sacrament present, as my uncle Father Alberto suggested in a letter to her aunt, to underline the sacredness of this home. And then also residence for religious sisters. Mm. And there is already a religious order who give her availability to come to Ponte Nuovo. Very important, the presence.
Of prayer, constant prayer,
Yes. And the company would like to donate the property of these buildings to the parish of Magenta, to the Cura of Milan. And I am trying to help the parish of Magenta and Ponte Nuovo to raise the funds, to restore all the buildings. Of course, this project would realize in three stages. The most urgent thing is to restore the home because
itself.
Really is in very, very bad condition.
No one lives there now. It's empty now, right?
The company abandoned this since many years ago.
Sure.
And so it's a miracle if the home is not to go down, really. The small church is not in so bad condition because thanks to the continuous use, is necessary also to restore the roof of the church.
Many upgrades,
and the big building is have a strong structure, but is necessary also to restore the big building. This project, of course, is in the service of the Universal Church. Mm. I know very well that if God would like Ponte Nuovo one day exist, one day Ponte Nuovo can exist.
Right.
So, and I am only an instrument in God's hands so that this project can come true. When pilgrims arrive, tell me that they would like to visit the home of Mom when she they would like to pray where Mom lived and died, all this, but now it's not possible. And this project have a complete support from important cardinal, like Cardinal Burke, very devoted to my mom, Cardinal Comastri, who is the general vicar of His Holiness for the City of Vatican, then of the Pontifical Council of the Family. This was one of my dad's dreams. I promised to him that until God give me the health and the life enough, I dedicated really all my energy to this project.
And you've got a lot of energy.
Because I am very happy to sleep in the bed of my mom and my dad. But I would like to share all of these relics of Mom with all the devotees of Mom.
In fact,
in this home, we would like also to put a relic of Mom, like gloves and scarves, so people can touch them. And really, I think many spiritual fruit can come from this project. And I thank really with all my heart all people who are helping me to realize this project. I reciprocate their generosity with my prayers, according to all their intentions. Every day I remember them in my prayers to my Saint Mom and to my Saintly Dad too.
Not many people can say Saint Mom.
Saint Mom.
And most likely Saint Dad.
Yes.
And most likely Saint Dad. Yeah, can we just tell our listeners, if they want to contribute, obviously it takes a lot of money. I think all three stages is about $8 million. So it's a big investment. It will be a beautiful shrine, not only as a place to worship, but also as a place for retreats and conventions and meetings. And so much like our Shrine of Częstochowa here.
Oh, beautiful.
We have a shrine right next door here.
Yes.
Beautiful shrine to Our Lady of Częstochowa.
Very inspiring. Yep.
So if people want to give to that cause, where should they look to donate?
Wait, right there, check.
Yes. St. John Restoration Fund was hoping with the National Catholic Community Foundation, a U.S. community foundation,
contributes and contributions are tax-deductible contributions.
Why don't you read a website?
Yeah. Alice, can you help me?
Yes, I will help you because we only have a minute or so left here. So, as you said, the St. Gianna Restoration Fund has been established by the National Catholic Community Foundation, which is a U.S. foundation, and contributions into it are tax-deductible. So you can go to, there's a few different sites. You can go to the National Fund there at nccfccommunity.org. Or you can go just to saintgianna.org. So that's Saint, S-A-I-N-T, Gianna, G-I-A-N-N-A.org. And find out information there. It's called Project Ponte Nuovo. I can't say it as well as you can. But that's the small town where this shrine will be, I don't want to say constructed because it's already there, but restored. Please, listeners, this saint is such a beautiful witness. Her mom is a beautiful witness to us all about giving our life in service to God, to our children, and the call to sacrifice and the call and the joy of sacrifice. That's, I think, the beauty of your mom's life is her joy in her sacrifice, her willingness to so easily sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, the goal of this project is to honor and promote knowledge of Saint Gianna Barretta Mola and her spirituality and to spread devotion to her by restoring it as a place of pilgrimage and prayer, which we all want to be a part of.
Right. So and we want to thank you for being on our show today.
Thank you.
We're so blessed to have you here. Your mom's life has touched our lives. You have touched our lives, and we're so very grateful.
Holy Spirit,
thank you so very much
for you. And please, friends, if you haven't gone to the Shrine in Nativity of Our Lord Parish in Warminster on Street Road, please look them up. Go. There are many times throughout the week where you can go and venerate the actual
relics. Right?
And join in prayer with others for whatever your needs are.
And I would like to thank you so very much. And please, you can help me for this project also with your prayers.
With your prayers.
Thank
you.
Thank you very much. I hope to welcome you in Ponte Nuovo of Magenta one day very soon.
Amen. I would love to see you.
Welcome all of you. Thank you so very much.
Do we have time? Let me just end very quickly with a prayer, a few words from the prayer of St. Gianna. Yeah. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God, our Father, we praise you and we bless you because in St. Gianna Barretta Mola, you have given us one who witnessed to the gospel as a young woman, as a wife, as a mother, and as a doctor. We thank you because through her gift of life, we can learn to welcome and honor every human person. And we ask this as we pray together, and we ask you for her blessings and for this radio station and for this beautiful shrine to be built in her honor. And we ask you this through all things, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, listeners. God bless, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.